So Hare Krishna, everyone. So it's again a real pleasure. Thank you all for coming. Sorry, I know we adjusted the time. Usually we don't come at this time. This is our trick to get you to come earlier and earlier. Before you know it, next, you know, within 6 months, you're going to be here at 6 o'clock in the morning. It's a conspiracy.
We're going to talk about that later.
I'm sorry, I blew it. Yes, the morning is so important, actually. I think, you know, I had the fortune to live in the manor for the last, over 20 years now. And I think one of the most amazing benefits of living at the temple is that it's just so natural to be up in the morning and doing something spiritual. You know, when you're living in the ashram, in the manor, even if you want to sleep, you can't. It's not possible, you know. From 2 o'clock in the morning, there are alarms going off at, you know, 30 minute intervals. And the most amazing thing is the person who sets their alarm the earliest is the one who sleeps the deepest. Their alarm is going off and they're peacefully, like, you know. Once we had a fit of rage in the morning because someone's alarm kept going off, you know. And he was just like, it was right next to him, but everyone else woke up. And this one devotee just got up and he just went, and he just threw it out. You know what to do? But the morning, yes. Early to bed, early to rise makes one healthy, wealthy, and wise. That's a very important principle. But time, yes, we are talking about time today, and somehow in the world there just never seems to be enough time. Would you agree?
Yes.
Yesterday I was thinking, why can't Krishna make 25 hours in a day? So we need more time, isn't it? Generally we always feel there's so much more we'd like to do. No time, everyone is running, everyone is busy. For many years we were traveling up and down the country doing book distribution. And you know, when you try and stop people in the street, it's difficult, you know, because everyone is rushing, everyone is moving somewhere, and now you want to stop them. So this one man was walking past and I said, "Sir, do you read?" He says, "No time, no time." I said, "But do you have one moment to speak?" He said, no time. And I said, "Have a good day." He said, no time. It was quite interesting. It's interesting. No time to even be happy. No time to have a good day. Going nowhere fast. Everyone is moving so fast, but how much time? How are we utilizing our time? So today's session is called No Time to Live. I have no idea. I've lived in the temple for many years now, but it looks like this is a 007 movie. James Bond. Is it called No Time to Live?
No Time to Die.
No Time to Die. Okay. Yes, so No Time to Live. So we're going to talk about it today because I think it's such a relevant thing for all of us. And all of us want to try and find balance in our life because we're trying to factor so many things in. And balance is not an easy thing. You want to do a live experiment here to show you how difficult balance is?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay, so everyone stand up then. So, okay, maybe I should also stand up now. No, it's okay, because your thing is set up. Okay, so in the ancient times, you heard of Dhruva Maharaj, right? Dhruva Maharaj, he was a young boy saint, and then he was told to go to the forest to do austerities. And when they would do austerities, they would stand on one leg, so you have to go like this. You have to go like this and fold your... And then what they would do is their right leg, you put it to your left knee. I don't have an insurance policy. I don't want anyone to get hurt. I'm not taking responsibility. Okay, so it's very easy. Fold your arms and right foot to the left knee, and you just have to stand there. That's simple enough. And can you believe Dhruva Maharaj did this for 6 months? In the first month, he was having only fruits. In the second month, he was having only, I think, only leaves. Then I think in the third month, he was having only water. Then in the fourth month, he was only breathing. Once every 12 days. Okay, guys, I can see some of you are still there with us. Yogeshwara, that is the master of yogis. I mean, it's simple enough, right? Some of you are still standing.
Yeah. We got yoga classes, Prabhuji.
I'm building up. Okay, so that was it. Okay, rest now. No, don't sit down. That was just the beginning. So, how many of you managed to stay balanced? Yeah, quite a few of you. Quite a few others. I don't know what to say. Good luck. Okay, now I want you to do the same thing again. At a certain point, I'm going to tell you to do something. So I want you to do it. But when you do it, if by any chance you lose your balance, then I want you to sit down. If you lose your balance, you have to sit down. And then we're going to see who wins. And I've got a prize for the person who wins. Okay, so let's begin with the normal pose. And we're just going to stand here for just a few seconds. If already you put your foot down. Okay, from now on, if anyone puts their foot down, you have to step. You have to sit down. Okay, there we got some honest people. Thank you. Okay, the rest of you? Okay. Okay, everyone good there? Who in the front? What's your name?
Narendra.
Narendra. Controller of all living entities. Okay, so after 5 seconds, if you put your foot down, you have to... Okay, so we still got quite a few standing up. That's pretty good. Okay, after 5 seconds, I'm going to tell you to do something. Okay? After 5 seconds, I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. Don't do it yet. 5, 4, 3, 2. If you put your foot down or you open your eyes after this, you have to sit down. 3, 2, 1. Close your eyes. Okay, they're all falling. Okay, we got a few who are still standing. Wow, look at Yogeshwara. Master of all mystics. And Damodar. Okay, we got two here. Yogeshwara, hold your composure. You're on home ground. You should be right first. Bring him in. Oh, yeah, someone else. No, but your eyes are open. So I think you give Damodar a round of applause. I think he won. It's an interesting experiment, isn't it? It was hard to keep balance, but somehow when your eyes are open, even though it's a little difficult to keep balance, you can still manage it. But the moment you close your eyes, how hard it is to keep balance. Practically, the moment you closed your eyes, everyone fell. What is the lesson? In your life, if you're not constantly keeping your eyes open as to how you're spending time and how you're keeping balance, then know for sure that you're going to go out of balance. Most people in this world are not keeping their eyes open to see whether their life is in balance. And because they're not keeping their eyes open to see that life is in balance, they're dropping things in their life. And then later on what happens is you go forward in your life and then you look back and you think, why didn't I spend time doing that? Why did I neglect that? Why didn't I pay attention to that? And then you look back at your life and you have many regrets. The worst thing you can have in your life is regrets. They say the pain of discipline is uncomfortable, but the pain of regrets is unbearable. If you neglect a relationship, later on in your life you'll have huge regrets. If you neglect your health, later on in your life you'll have huge regrets. And if you neglect your spirituality, later on, know for sure, you will have huge regrets. But if you don't keep your eyes open, we will end up neglecting some of these things. So we want to avoid that situation. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to put 20 questions up, and you don't need to say anything to anyone. I just want you to make a mental note how many of these questions or how many of these statements are true for you. Okay? And then at the end of the 20, you will have a number. And these questions are going to help you to understand whether your life is in balance or out of balance. Are you ready?
Yes.
Do you want to? If you don't want to see these questions, you can also go. Some people may not want to see these questions. When I saw these questions, after the fifth one, I was like, I don't want to look at this. Okay, these are very, very important questions for you to ask yourself. Question number one, or statement number one. I don't read books or upgrade my knowledge on a daily basis. Are you learning every day? Are you learning something new? Are you upgrading who you are as a person in some small way every single day? So if you don't read books or upgrade your, then you have to give yourself 1 point. You got the point? The point. Okay, everyone understand it, right? So just keep account. You have to keep account, yeah? Number two, I usually end each day with a huge list of things left to do. True?
Yes.
Okay, you got the point again. Yeah, sometimes we're just at the end of the day and we had so many things we wanted to get done and then we don't get it done and then the next day we go in carrying over those things with a whole new bunch of tasks for that and then we're just catching up all the time. Number three, I feel uncomfortable and uneasy when I have time off and no pressing responsibilities. Have you ever had this experience? All of a sudden you have a day off, or all of a sudden you're on holiday and you have nothing to do, or all of a sudden you're in a situation where you're not pushed to do something, and you almost feel very uncomfortable, very uneasy. You don't know what to do. Like, what do I do with my time now? It feels very strange. Does it feel strange to have time off?
No.
Most of you are like, I don't have any time off. No. But maybe you have this experience. Okay, so right now you can have a maximum of 3 points or a minimum of 0. I regularly have a huge backlog of people to contact and messages to answer.
Yes.
Are you that kind of person? Many messages in the inbox, many people still to reply to, always a backlog. I feel like all my energy is taken up by work and career, leaving little energy for anything else. Feel like that? the work and career sucks so much of your time, your energy, your vitality, that even in the evening, if you have 3 hours spare, you're so tired that you can't do anything except sit on the sofa and watch ZTV. Is ZTV still trying there? I feel like my spirituality is mechanical. Okay, late at night, just finish off whatever spiritual duties for the day. Oh, I have to do that aarti. Okay, let me just get it done somehow or other. My spiritual practices are just something I'm ticking off to get done so I can go to sleep without the guilt. I want to go to sleep without the guilt that I haven't done it. I consciously avoid spending time with others because I have too many things to do. Have that experience? Someone calls, and in your mind you're thinking, how long is this conversation going to take? And sometimes you just have to let the call go. Or, in the manner when you're walking, you specifically walk in a certain trajectory to avoid certain people because you don't have time to just talk. Okay, so are you counting? Is everyone counting?
Yes.
Yeah, you should have a number, yeah? We need a number. I rarely reflect, introspect, and scrutinize my life direction. When was the last time you sat down and asked yourself, where am I going? What am I doing? Am I achieving my goals? If someone asked me, where do you want to be in 5 years' time? Would I be able to tell them, what do I want to be in 5 years' time from now? What are your goals? Have you set any goals? Interesting. I rarely do charity work or welfare activities which are for the benefit of people I don't know. Is our whole life only doing things for ourselves? Or do we have time to do things for other people that we don't know? That doesn't mean, you know, something for your mother-in-law or... Not that I have anything against mother-in-law. I don't have a mother-in-law. But not like that, for people you don't know. Just to help them, selflessly. You have time to do something for people you don't know? That's an important part of life. I find it hard to sleep, or I don't get enough sleep. When you lie down, how long does it take for you to go to sleep? When you're sleeping, what is the quality of the sleep? Isn't it? There's different levels of sleep, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you can be lying in a bed. Sometimes people, they lie in a bed for hours, but they wake up completely tired. Because it's not deep sleep, because the mind is too active. I've lost the friendship over anger or failing to respect the other person. You know a key sign of being too busy or imbalanced in your life is your relationships. You don't give quality time to other people and you lose friendships or you lose relationships. You become angry, isn't it? Have you noticed? When you're busy, your temper becomes very short. I rarely think about God or consciously pray to Him. When was the last time you came and just spent time speaking to God, speaking to Krishna, speaking to Gaur Nithai? When friends ring me, I rarely have the time to have a friendly chat with them. Are all your interactions mainly just to get something done? Or how many of your interactions are you just speaking to someone just because you want to know how they're doing and you want to share how you're doing with no particular agenda? I feel like I complain and find faults more than being grateful and positive. How much are we like this? Always seeing the negative, always seeing the problems, always seeing what's wrong. Okay, and the final ones. I have health issues which are related to stress, anxiety, or irregular habits. I have not taken a holiday in a year. I need a holiday. No, my whole life's a holiday. It's an important part of life to disconnect from your normal situation and to be somewhere else. That's an important part of life. Krishna talks about it in Bhagavad Gita. Yukta hara viharasya yukta chestasya karmasu yukta svapno vabodasya yogo bhavati dukaha. Vihar, Krishna says, means recreation or holiday. You also need time to take it. It's not luxury. Krishna says you have to have it. My partner, children, family complain that I don't have enough quality time for them. How much do you hear that from the people around you, that they wish you could spend more time with them? I don't have time to spend on self-development, exploring things I am interested in. If an emergency comes up in my life, I find it very difficult to adjust. How much spare time do you have in your life so that if something goes wrong, you can readjust it? Or is everything just packed back to back? And most of my interactions with people are just about getting things done. Okay. So now you have a number? Everyone has a number? Out of 20? These are key questions which can help you understand if your life is out of balance. And if your life is out of balance, what's going to happen? You're going to have regrets. So, if you're between 0 and 6 points, then great. You're a liar. Basically. I doubt it, anyone. Does someone have? Okay, wow. Well, you're on a line. Okay, amazing. I think you should be up here giving this. If you're between 7 and 13, you need to adjust. And if you're between 14 and 20, I'm not even going to show you the next time. You need urgent. We need to stop and look at our life. Because time is the most valuable thing we have. Chanakya Pandit says, Ayusha kshana ekopi nalabhya svarna koti bhi. Nachen nirarthakam niti kachahan istatodhika. Ayusha kshana ekopi. Ayu, what does ayu mean? Like we have Ayurveda. So ayu means life. Ayusha kshana. Kshana means a moment. A moment of life. Ekopi. One moment of your life. One moment of time. Na labhya. You can't get it. Svarna koti bi, even if you have millions of gold coins. Who can buy back time? So then what does Niti Shastra say? Na chen nir arthakam niti. Artha means value. So Niti Shastra says then, if you use time without any value coming from that time, ka cha hanis tato dika, what can be a greater loss than that? Time is the most valuable thing we have. Once I was walking someplace, it wasn't East London, but there was a place where there was a lot of graffiti, like East London. And someone had written, just killing time, graffiti. And I came back some time later, and another graffiti artist had come and cancelled out what he wrote and said, no, time is just killing you. So sometimes we say, I'm just killing time. You're not killing time. Time is killing you. What does Bhagavatam say? Ayur harati vaipumsham udyan ashtam chayanaso dashyarte yakshano nita uttama shloka vartaye. Ayur harati vaipumsham. Your ayur is being harati. Harati comes from the word hari. Hari means one who
takes
away. Ayur harati. Every day your ayur, your life is being taken away. How? Udyan ashtam chayanasho. When you see the sun rising and you see the sun setting, you should understand ayur harati. My life is being taken away. So, our life is going, and so the Shastra, what is constantly telling us to do is think deeply about how you're spending your time. So what I want to share with you today is some lessons from the Gita as to how Arjuna manages to figure out in his life how to fit everything in. Because in the beginning, Arjuna is confused. And at the end of the Gita, Arjuna is completely clear. So what is the journey that Arjuna goes through in order to find that clarity of what I need to do in my life in order to fit everything in? So I'm going to take you through five major steps that Arjuna goes through in the Gita. And these are five major steps that all of us have to go through. So what we're going to do is we're going to read, shall we read the verse together? It's nice to read that we have Sanskrit. So I'm going to read the line and then you can repeat after me. So this verse is right at the beginning of the Gita. This is the chapter where we're being introduced to the battlefield and Arjuna is on the battlefield. And what does Arjuna then say to Krishna?
Senayor ubayor madhye. Ratam sthapaya me chyuta. Yavadetan nirikshaham.
So what does this mean? Arjuna says to Krishna, O infallible one, please draw my chariot between the two armies so that I may see those present here who desire to fight and with whom I must contend in this great trial of arms. Arjuna is on a battlefield, number one. Arjuna is in a battlefield when the most, the greatest war in the history of the earth is about to take place, number two. Arjuna is the key person in that battlefield who everyone's eyes are on because everyone knows Arjuna is the greatest archer, number three. And Arjuna is looking around and is completely disturbed because he's seeing that everyone around him, his friends, family, and all his family members and all his associates are going to suffer and some of them are going to die, number four. He's on the battlefield, a war's about to start. All eyes are on him and he's faced with so many anxieties in his mind about potential suffering and death. Despite the intensity of all of that, what does Arjuna tell Krishna? Take me to the middle of the battlefield so I can look around, see everyone, and I can actually begin to reflect about what I should do in this situation. Can anyone in this world say that they have a more intense situation than Arjuna? Can someone in this world say, I'm in the middle of all of these things, I don't have time to think about life? If someone had the excuse to say, I don't have time, it would be Arjuna. But even Arjuna, in the midst of a battlefield, at the onset of war, being the main person in that war, still he took time. So the first lesson of the Bhagavad Gita is that every single person has to take time out of their life. It's not optional. It doesn't matter how busy your life is. It doesn't matter how many duties you have. It doesn't matter how many demands there are on your situation. Every single person must take time out. Because if you don't take time out of your life to deeply think about these things, then know for sure your life will go in the wrong direction. Did you know, according to Ayurveda, half of your stomach should be solids, one quarter of your stomach should be liquids, and what's the one rest, one quarter of your stomach? Sweets. Air. Air. Why do you need air? Because without air, the fire of digestion can't take place. If you pack it all up, I'm telling you this before prasadam. If you go right to there, you have that experience. Rather than feeling energized, you feel completely flat. And most people fall flat. Once we were in Chaupati, I remember one person had... I shouldn't say that. Lord prasadam. So we need that space. We need that, otherwise you can't digest life. So we need space in our life. So the very first thing is, if someone says, I don't have time. No, no, no. There are some things in life that are so important, you have to make time. Isn't it? Imagine if you went for prasadam and someone put a frozen pizza on your plate. And you say, but it's a frozen pizza. I didn't have time to put it in the oven. No, no. Or say, for example, you're driving up the motorway to Scotland and, you know, 10 miles down the road, the car stops because you've run out of petrol. And you look at the person and say, didn't you put petrol in the car? I didn't have time. No. There are some things which are so important in life that it's not a question of having time. You have to make time. And if you don't take the time to reflect, if you don't take the time to step away from your life and ask yourself questions, your life won't turn out how you want your life to be. So the first thing is, you have to take time out. Arjun does it. And therefore, Arjun began going on a positive direction. But then what did Arjun do? He didn't just take time out. What did he do in that time out? That's another thing now. So what did Arjun do once he took time out and said, I'm going to reflect about the situation? What did Arjun do next? So you can repeat after me. Karpanya dosho pahata svabhava. Karpanya dosho pahata svabhava. Chami tam dharma shamudha chaitaha. Chesham nishchitam bruhitan me. Shishyaste ham sadhimam tvam prapannam.
Shishyaste ham sadhimam tvam prapannam.
Now I'm confused about my duty and have lost all composure because of miserly weakness. In this condition, I'm asking you to tell me for certain what is best for me. Now I am your disciple and a soul surrendered unto you. Please instruct me. So what did Arjun say? He said, Krishna, you tell me what I should do. I am dharma shamuda. Shamuda means confused. I'm confused about my duty. Shishya steham, I'm your disciple. I'm a soul surrendered to you. Challenge me. Change me. Clarify my understanding, help me to upgrade my vision. So the second thing that Arjun does is he tells Krishna, challenge me. The most dangerous phrase in the English language is, we've always done it this way. We have lived our life in a certain way for so many years, And after some time, we stop challenging ourselves. We stop asking ourselves, why am I doing this? Why am I living like this? Why am I pursuing this? But a progressive person in their life, they're always challenging themselves. Do I really need this? Do I really need to strive for this? Is this really important in my life? Should I be living like this? They're ready to ask themselves difficult questions which may change their life. But most people in this world, they don't want to change. They just want to carry on as they've been going year after year after year. But if you don't challenge yourself, you can never upgrade yourself. So therefore, Arjuna, he was ready to challenge. And he was ready to ask Krishna, what is my purpose? How many of us in this room know what is our dharma? See, we think dharma means religion. Dharma means that what you do when you give a donation to a temple, that's dharma. Or dharma is, you know, when it's Shraddha, then we should do something for our forefathers. That's dharma. That's what our conception of dharma is. That is dharma, but it's only a small part of dharma. You know what dharma actually means? Dharma means, what is your purpose in life? What's your purpose? Imagine tomorrow if someone would come to you and say, what's your purpose? Would you be able to tell them? What's your purpose? Why are you living? That we must have a clear answer to. So Arjuna said, Dharma Shamudha, I'm confused about my purpose. He was ready to challenge himself. And because he was ready to challenge, he was able to grow. And then when he asked the question, what is my dharma? What did Krishna then reply to him? So you can repeat. Shreyan Svadharma Viguna.
Shreyan Svadharma Viguna.
Paradharmad Svanustita.
Paradharmad Svanustita.
Svadharme Nidhanam Shreya.
Svadharme Nidhanam Shreya.
Paradharmo Bhayavaha. There are only two verses in the Gita which are repeated. And this is one of them. So you can understand this verse that Krishna says is an incredibly important verse. Because it's only one of two verses which Krishna says twice. So what does this mean? Krishna says to Arjuna, it is far better to discharge one's prescribed duties, even though faultily, than another's duties perfectly. Destruction in the course of performing one's own duty is better than engaging in another's duties, for to follow another's path is dangerous. So the first thing that Krishna is telling Arjuna, Arjuna is asking, what's my dharma? What's my purpose? So the first thing that Krishna says to Arjuna is that you have a dharma in this world. In Sanskrit, this is known as Svadharma. So each one of us in this room, we have a purpose in this body, in this life, in this chapter of existence. You were born into a specific situation, into a specific family, with a specific mind and body. And according to all of those things, you have a dharma in this life. There are different varnas, there are brahmanas, kshatriyas, vaishyas, sudras. There are different ashrams, sannyas, grihastha, vanaprastha, brahmachari. So each one of us need to find what is my varna and what is my ashram. And then once we find what is our varna and our ashram, our occupation, in other words, and our stage of life, then we need to understand, how do I live that dharma day to day? And don't try to do someone else's dharma. Don't try to copy someone else's life. Don't look on social media and think, oh, that person has the ideal life, let me try and create that life. Because you know what? Everyone has their own life. Everyone has their own purpose. Everyone has their own dharma. Therefore, what does Krishna say to Arjuna? Don't try and do someone else's dharma. Find your own dharma. Because if you live in this world, but you're in the wrong varna, and you're in the wrong ashram, then your whole life you will feel frustrated and unfulfilled. Einstein, he said, everyone is a genius. But if you convince a fish that it has to climb a tree, it will live its whole life thinking it's a failure. Does a fish have to climb a tree? No. A fish has to swim in the sea, not climb a tree. That's what the fish is designed for. And when the fish does that, then it can achieve its potential and feel very comfortable. But if you convince that fish that, no, the whole world is climbing the tree, you also have to climb the tree, then the fish will feel, my whole life I was a failure. Don't try and do someone else's dharma. Find your dharma. Don't compare. Don't compete. Don't copy. You were born in an original. Don't die a copy. You're original. So Krishna says to Arjuna, you have a unique dharma. You're a kshatriya. So you have to do your dharma. Don't try and go to the forest and be a sannyasi. Who's more advanced, the sannyasi or a grihastha? Sannyasi, no. Grihe thako, vane thako, sada hari bole thako. It doesn't matter. You live in the forest as a sannyasi, or you live in the home as a householder. Everyone has equal opportunity, because it doesn't matter. Everyone has their own dharma. But how many of us know what is my dharma? Not many people know. Most people in this world are living outside of their dharma. Imagine, how many of you are right-handed? I should have said it the other way. How many of you are left-handed? Okay, a few. So now, if these left-handed people feel, no, everyone's right-handed. And I ask these left-handed people to write now. No, if you don't write with your right hand, you are abnormal. How will you feel if you write with your wrong hand? How will you feel? What will be their experience? Can you name me some words?
Uncomfortable.
What else will happen?
Frustrated.
Unsteady. You won't do a good job.
No one be able to read.
Sure. These are all the things that happen when you live outside of your dharma. Sometimes people do a career. Can you imagine? If you calculate how many hours your career takes up in the whole of your life, how many hours is it? I think it's 80,000 hours. That's how many hours you're going to spend on your career. 90% of people are only doing their career because it brings them money. They hate the job. They hate the boss. They hate the place. They hate everything about it. But because it gives them money, they're going to spend 80,000 hours of their life doing it. Do you think that's a good way to spend your life?
No.
Most people are spending their life like that. So, Krishna says to Arjuna, understand your swadharma, first thing. But then Krishna goes further and he says something else to Arjuna.
Mamupetya punarjanma.
Mamupetya punarjanma.
Dukhalayam shashvatam.
Dukhalayam shashvatam.
Naknuvanti mahatmana.
Naknuvanti mahatmana.
Samsiddhim paramam gataha.
Samsiddhim paramam gataha.
What does Krishna say to Arjuna then? After attaining me, the great souls who are yogis in devotion
never return to this temporary world, which is full of miseries, because they have attained the highest perfection. So the first thing that Krishna tells Arjun says, I'm Dharma Shamuda. I don't know what my purpose is. So the first thing Krishna says to Arjun is, first be clear about what your purpose is in this life, your Swadharma. But then what Krishna says to Arjun is, also be clear about what your ultimate purpose is, your eternal purpose, your spiritual purpose, your Sanatan Dharma. Be very clear that yes, we have to live in our Dharma while we're in this body, and we have to live according to our Swadharma, but never forget that you have a Sanatan Dharma, a bigger purpose, an ultimate purpose, which is that ultimately you have to get out of this world. And why do you have to get out of this world? Dukhalayam ashashvatam. Do you experience that? This world, no matter what you do to try and make it comfortable, no matter what you try to do to make it happy, no matter what you try to do to make it secure, there's insecurity, there's unhappiness, it's a roller coaster journey. It's all transient in this world. So Krishna says to Arjun, don't try and fix it. Don't try and fix this world. Understand that you are a soul and that ultimately you're not meant to be in this world. Ultimately you're meant to be in the spiritual world. And if you honor your Sanatan Dharma while doing your Swadharma, then not only will you live a peaceful and happy life now, but ultimately you will be able to get out of this world, which is the bigger journey you're on. So Krishna, what he does to Arjuna is he gives him the bigger vision about where you're meant to go in life. And so when he's teaching Arjuna about Dharma, he's teaching him not just about Swadharma, but he's teaching him about Sanatan Dharma. And he's telling Arjuna, do both of those things side by side. And then what does Arjun say to Krishna at the end of all of this? Nasta moha smriti labdha.
Nasta moha smriti labdha.
Tat prasadan maya chuta. Stitosmi gata sandeha. Krishye vachanam tava.
So
after hearing all of this, what does Arjun say? My dear Krishna, O infallible one, my illusion is now gone. I have regained my memory by your mercy. I am now firm and free from doubt and am prepared to act according to your instructions. So by the end of the Gita, Arjun has complete clarity. I know who I am, I know why I'm here, I know where I'm going, and I know how to go there, and I'm ready to do it. If you know these five things, when you wake up in the morning, there will be no hesitation. You know the best alarm clock in the morning? Purpose. Not the brahmacharya says it at 2 o'clock in the morning, which is so loud. The best alarm clock in the world is purpose. Because when your eyes open in the morning, if you know who I am, why I'm here in this world, where I need to go, how I need to go there, and that I can actually do it, I have a clear picture in my mind. When your eyes open in the morning, you won't need an alarm clock. You will just get out of bed because you will be so enthused and inspired about life. But because most people don't have that purpose, when the alarm clock goes off in the morning, it's very difficult to get up. Shall I give you a good measure of whether you found your purpose? Can you get up in the morning like that? If you can do that, know that you have found your Dharma completely. And if you haven't done that,
know that there's something missing, something I still need to discover. So, clarity and conviction. We want to get to that point where we're so enthused and inspired and hungry for life that we're ready to go. And if you want to get that kind of clarity and conviction that Arjun had, then what does it mean? You know, we'll work backwards. Now we'll go backwards. If you want to get that kind of clarity, what does it mean? You have to know what's your eternal purpose. But not just that, you have to know what's your purpose in this life. But how will you know what is your eternal purpose and worldly purpose? Only if you're ready to challenge yourself. Challenge the way you're living. Change yourself. And how can you come to that point of challenging yourself? First, you have to take time out to think. You have to take time out to think deeply. Most people in this world don't think. Most people are just going along with everyone else. Most people are just going along with what society tells you to do. Most people are just going, keeping up with the Patels. Only a wise person takes time out and says, no, let me just look at my life for a second and let me challenge it and let me clarify my purpose. And then their life goes to a higher level. I'm going to say one final thing and then I'm going to open it up. We have time? Yeah. Few minutes. Now you may say, this is all good. I want that last one and I'm happy with these other three, but I don't have time. I hope you're not going to say that. If you are going to say that, I'm just going to give you sutras of time. I'm going to give you four main things about time. And I'm not sharing this as a scriptural quote, but I'm sharing this as something I've observed in my life. Because most people tell me I don't have time. But here are four reflections I want to give you. I've already talked about this. It's not about having time, it's about making time. So the first thing is, if someone says I don't have time, what it means is I don't think it's important. So next time someone says to you, you know, why aren't you doing, and you say I don't have time, be very clear in your mind what you're actually saying to that person is, I don't think it's important. Because I guarantee you, if there's something important in your life, you will make time for it. And I can give you 100 examples from each person's life. You don't need me to give it to you, you can see for yourself. So be very clear. If someone comes to you and you say, I don't have time, be very clear. What you're saying is, I don't think it's important. Then we have to begin to look at what's the order of priority. Here's another sutra. When time is utilized, time expands. So if someone says, I don't have time, my observance is, if someone in their life utilizes whatever small time they have, in other words, they don't waste time. If you utilize whatever small time you have, what you will eventually begin to see in your life is that time expands. Because why will Krishna give you more time if you're not spending the time that you currently have wisely? But when Krishna sees that you're spending the time you have wisely and you want to do more, then why will Krishna not expand your time? Krishna will. So when time is utilized, time expands. Here's another sutra of time. When desire deepens, capacity increases. When someone really wants to do something, what they're able to do is in the time that they have, they're able to achieve more. Have you noticed?
Sometimes you look at the lives of these great people and you think, how do they fit so many things in their life? Because when desire deepens, capacity increases. So if someone says, I'm not able to get it all done, we have to take a look. How deep is my desire to get it done? Free two birds with one key. Not kill two birds with one stone. Because we don't agree with that. Free two birds with one key. What do I mean by this? In your life, start looking at how to integrate your material and spiritual life. Too many times people look at their material and spiritual life as two different things. But can your material life and spiritual life be integrated? Someone said, no, I have to spend time with my family and then I have to read Bhagavad Gita. What about if you read Bhagavad Gita with your family? Maybe you'd free two birds with one key. No, I have to spend time teaching my children. Okay, so why don't you also teach your children some spiritual things? No, I have to do exercise, and then after I do my exercise, I have to chant my rounds. Well, why can't you go on a japa walk every day? Maybe you'd free two birds with one stone. Maybe, no, I have to drive to work and I always get stuck in traffic and then I have no time to listen. Well, why can't you listen to a lecture in your car when you're stuck in traffic? Free two birds with one key. In other words, instead of compartmentalizing your life and saying, this is my material life and this is my spiritual life. There is no material life. Material is dead. There's no material life. There's only one life, spiritual life. And what you have to learn the art of is how to bring spirituality into every part of your life. Don't just be a husband, be a spiritual husband. Don't just be a parent, be a spiritual parent. Don't just be... you get the point of what I'm saying. Integrate life, because that way you free two birds with one key. And here I give you some ideas and some insight, hopefully, into how we should spend our time and why it's so important to look deeply at how we're balancing everything and how we're spending this time. And if we find ourselves saying, I have no time, how we have to look a little bit closer and say, maybe there's something else within me that's the block. And time is not actually the block. Although the world seems to convince me and my mind seems to convince me that it is time. My experience is, after many years of traveling and seeing most people, I would say, maybe after meeting thousands and thousands of people, I met maybe a handful who genuinely never had time. Who genuinely had a situation in life where they just, there's no time. Most people have time. But we have to take a deep look at how we're utilizing our time. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. So it's 12:45. I don't know how we are with time. Should we? Okay, we have some time. If you had said no, it was like that means you don't want anyone to answer. Okay, does anyone have any question or comment or yes? Nice and loud, please.
Yeah. Hare Krishna, Prabhu. So yesterday in Chaitanya Charitamrita class, you had described about a story about a builder where you know, at the last of his time period, he went on, you know, to build his house, which was given to him as a travel gift. So I just want to relate that to the topic here, just to try to understand how you are perceiving this. So when you said about it, you said there should be a rag bhav when you worship, right? So that's super important. And in these verses, we spoke about Swadharma and Sanatana Dharma. Okay, this is the beginning stage of spirituality. And once you progress, right, when you go to that stage, does that mean in rag bhav, you just, you know, start spending less time on Swadharma and focus more on Sanatana Dharma? Because if we balance both, say 16 rounds a day, and when you have to, you know, get to that stage where it's more of rag bhav, it's not about rounds, you know, you spend most of your time about, you know, thinking about Krishna or spirituality, then it means that, you know, you're not doing justice to Swadharma at that point. So I'm just a little confused of how to...
Yeah, thank you so much. Yes. It's interesting, with technology nowadays, you have to be careful what you say. You know? You're not just coming to a place where people are hearing one lecture, you know, just have heard many things, you know, it's like, okay. Yesterday we were reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is the postgraduate. And today we are reading from Bhagavad Gita, which is laying the foundation of our spiritual life. So I appreciate your point. We're on a journey, and the ultimate end of that journey is you want to fall in love with Krishna. Rag means attachment. You see, Radha, isn't it? We worship Radha. So what does Radha mean? Radha Davati. Radharani is that person who is just, Davati means running. And rag means attached. She has so much love for Krishna that she's just running after Krishna. Right now, we are not running after Krishna. We're running after so many other things. So in the beginning, we're doing Svadharma and Sanatana Dharma side by side. We're regulating, like we were talking yesterday. And your point is that eventually, the fruit of that is that we should be running after Krishna. We should have that rag. And then what happens in that situation when we have rag? Does it mean that we don't do our Svadharma anymore? Not necessarily. Rupa Goswami, he was running after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he wanted to leave everything behind. And what did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu say to him? He sent him a cryptic letter. And what did he say in that letter? Paravyasinini nari vyagrapi griha karmashu tadeva svadayatyanta navasanga rasayanam. He wanted to run away and join Mahaprabhu, so Mahaprabhu sent him a cryptic message. And what was the cryptic message? Just as there may be a lady who has a married lady who has another lover, but what does she do? She stays at home and she does all of her household duties even more attentively so that no one will ever think she has her mind on someone else. So, Mahaprabhu sent this cryptic message to Rupa. And Rupa understood, what Mahaprabhu is telling me is, do my duty attentively, but in your mind is somewhere else. So right now, our mind is totally away from Krishna, our actions are somewhere else. In the beginning, what we're doing is we're doing our duty, and we're being attentive. And then later on, when we develop rag, it's not that we just leave everything behind immediately. And also rag, it's not like one day you just get rag. Rag is growing. Attachment for Krishna is growing over time. And what happens is over time, the rag is growing, but it's a very internal thing. It doesn't necessarily mean that externally you leave everything behind. But it means internally, you can't take your mind away from Krishna. Krishna keeps coming. Rupa Goswami says, Yuvatinam yatha yuni yunam cha yuvato yatha mano bhi ramate tadvan mano me ramatam tvai
He says, just as the minds of young girls are attracted to young boys, and just as the minds of young boys are attracted to young girls, may my mind be as naturally attracted towards you. So when you have rag, what happens is it's not that you just give everything up, but it means internally your mind is constantly just going to Krishna, running to Krishna. Right now our mind is not, therefore we have to force ourselves, put pictures up of Krishna everywhere. You know, make all your passwords Krishna. Everything we do, isn't it, everywhere. In India, the rickshaw drivers, they take the speedometer out and they just put a picture of Krishna there. If I die on the rickshaw, you start seeing Krishna. So right now we are having to force ourselves a lot. When you have rag, the mind goes there. But it doesn't mean that you leave your duty behind. But that also, that rag is very, like I was saying yesterday, that comes at a very mature stage. So right now we cultivate it internally. I hope that helps. Anyone else have any question? Yes, Prabhu, at the back.
So whenever we invite them for a program or a lecture or to come to Sanyas, they say, I will come and join, because I have many things to do now. Krishna knows now, or God knows when he will give the time. So I don't know what to answer them, because we try to inspire as much as possible, but with that one sentence, what they say, time will come automatically, I will join. So
I will join means join Krishna consciousness, join the process in the right time.
Yeah. So we don't know how to explain them the other point.
Yeah, there was another 007 movie, Tomorrow Never Dies. Well, what to say to someone who says tomorrow? Again, psychologically, tomorrow means it's not important for me. If it was important, you'd do it today. Do you say, tomorrow I will have my lunch? No, tomorrow I'll have my lunch. No, I want my lunch today. I want it now. It's okay, I'm there, I want it, I'll have it. No one will say. Because you can't live without it. So, how will we develop this urgency to understand that this is the pressing need of the day? That only one has to go through their own internal transformation to understand that life is short. We say tomorrow, will we be here tomorrow? Tomorrow usually means 6 months, 1 year, 3 years, I'm working it out. How do we know? You know better than me. You turn on the news and you see how unexpected life is. So, the other thing I would say to someone is that you see what they're looking at, again, they're compartmentalizing their life. They're thinking, I have to do the material and then I can do the spiritual. They're thinking that they are different stages in life. Therefore, what did I say? Free two birds with one key. If you become spiritual, you'll be a better husband. You'll be a better father. You'll be a better worker. It's not that it's going to take away anything from your life. Rather, it's going to contribute to you living a better life now. So, becoming Krishna conscious will help you to do your duties in the here and now much better. So that these people are not understanding this. Therefore, they're saying that I'll do my material and then I'll do my spiritual. But if you do your spiritual, your material will go better now. So, these things have to be shared with people. But Prabhu, what can we say? At the end of the day, all of us are going to walk out of this door today, and tomorrow is Monday morning. And we have to decide, what do we want to do with our life? And then you have to live with your decision. Whatever you invest in, that's what you will reap at the end of the life. So unless one gets that inner conviction that what is the purpose of life is more than just what I'm doing here. Unless one gets that strong conviction, you can't really go on this journey. So we can only, we are here, you see. As a speaker, all you're doing is you have a machine gun. Yeah, maybe this is not a good analogy. I don't know what to say. And basically what I'm doing here is I've got a gun and I'm basically firing bullets. And maybe it will reach one person. Maybe it will reach my own heart. Who am I? I need to also listen to this. Maybe it will reach one person. Because what does Krishna say? Manushyanam sahasreshu kashkit yatati siddhaye yatatam api siddhanam kashkin man veti tatvata. Out of thousands of people in this world, one may get that inclination, let me try for this. And out of thousands who are trying, maybe one will make it because they make it a priority. So, you know, here I am shooting, I'm trying to shoot myself as well, like, that this message may penetrate. Because life goes on. Ayur harati ve pumsham, and life is being taken away. At the end, what will you regret? Are you going to regret that I didn't spend enough time at work? I really wish I spent more hours at the office. Are you going to regret I didn't go to that holiday destination? Are you going to regret I didn't go for that job promotion and get that extra money? You're not going to regret any of these things. What you're going to regret is that you didn't spend time understanding who you are and what the goal of life is. Yet in the life we have, we put all our time in those things. What does Krishna say to Arjun? Yata iccha tata akuru. I've given the knowledge. Yata iccha. Now is your desire. You do what you want to do. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Yeah, I see many hands, but what do we do? Because there's many hands, but I think it's 1 o'clock.
We'll take one more.
I agree with that dilemma because there's so many people here. Okay, I'll try to do 2 quickly. Yes.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj, I wanted to ask, you say you do your prescribed duties. If you're doing your prescribed duties and it's having a negative impact on, say, mental health, I work in mental health myself, how would you actually deal with that? Because you're trying to do your duty and you need to focus on other aspects of your life as well. How would you deal with that?
Yes, thank you for asking this question. We also need to be kind to ourselves. We also need to take time for ourselves. We have duties towards family. We have duties towards other people. We have duties towards society. But if we don't take care of ourselves, if we don't take time for ourselves, then what we'll find is that eventually we run out of steam and we run out of the strength to do those things. So therefore, what does Krishna say? Yukta ahara viharasya. Therefore, you also have to have some vihar. You have to have some time away. You have to have some time of replenishment for yourself. You have to have time in a year when you disconnect from the world. You have to have time in a week when you disconnect from the world. You have to have time every single day when you disconnect from the world. Because unless you disconnect, you can't really connect to people. So what I would say is, yes, do your duty. But remember that one of your prescribed duties is to take care of yourself. And in the rush to attend to all of the duties of life, if you don't take care of yourself, then you will find that later on you cannot sustain. Yeah, so take care of yourself. Okay, Mataji, we'll do this last one and then
Hare Krishna. So we just came into this Krishna consciousness last year only. So now my complete family is doing, you know, Hare Krishna. So thanks to, you know, all the Prabhus in this journey, you know, they are helping us, especially Yogeshwar Prabhuji. So my question is that, you know, when we came, you know, in this journey, you know, we have been told that you have not chosen Krishna, Krishna have chosen you.
Mm-hmm.
So now, if you have done a lot of good karmas in your past life, so now in this life you are actually remembering Krishna and, you know, taking the journey. So if people are saying that, you know, we will do it tomorrow, we will do it, you know, when we will be old or we don't have time. So does we consider that, you know, they have not done the good karmas in their past life or Krishna have not chosen them? So is it human's mistake or, I mean...
Yeah, this is a very good question. So those people, if we're saying that we were graced by Krishna, we were graced by the devotees, and therefore we're in Krishna consciousness, does it mean that those who are out of Krishna consciousness, it's not their fault? They didn't get the grace of Krishna. They didn't get the mercy. And therefore, how can we hold it against them? It's not exactly like that, because each one of us have one thing that Krishna gives us that He never takes away. Krishna is Hari. Krishna takes away everything from you. He will take away your health and my health. He will take away people from your life. He will take away your abilities. Krishna will take away everything. But there's one thing that Krishna will never take away from you. And what's that? Yata Icha. Your own free will. So Krishna gives us free will, and what happens is that when we show some inclination that Krishna, I want you to be part of my life, or I want to develop a relationship with you. When we take one step to Krishna, then Krishna takes many, many steps towards you. But Krishna, he will not force himself into your life. Otherwise, Krishna could have told Arjuna, he could have forced him, isn't it? Now I'm coming into your life. No, he said, Arjuna, you do what you want to do. It's up to you. But the moment Arjuna said, Nastamoha, I'm Tat Prasada, I'm going to do what you tell me to do, then Krishna gets very involved. So yes, ultimately we are here by Krishna's grace. It's like if I take one step to you, if I'm like on that side of the room and you're that side of the room and I take one step and you, because you see me take one step, you take all the rest of the steps, 100 steps to meet me, then practically we can say you walk to me. But you only came because I took the one step. So in one sense you can say I took the step. So in one sense we're in Krishna consciousness because of our free will. Definitely. But then we often say, no, Krishna came into our life because he's doing all the hard work. But Krishna doesn't force. So everyone has free will. So we all have that choice when we walk out, how seriously we want to take it. Hare Krishna. Thank you so much for your time. I'm sorry if I said anything wrong or... when I speak, and then sometimes I'm like, this person is a little intense, you know. So I hope it wasn't intense. I'm just sharing with you a little bit of my heart, and I hope it was useful. And thank you very much.